you son of a bubbly!
Excuse me!
I'm better than you, and you know it!
Hello and welcome to a very, very special edition of Monday Night Gore. It's me, Connor, here. I am flying solo, but I'm not going completely solo because I'm joined by a very special guest. I am joined by none other than Vert Vixen. Vert, how are you this morning? Or afternoon, depending wherever you're listening.
Morning for me. I'm fantastic. How are you doing today?
I am very good, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This is going to be all about you. You know, we want our listeners to know everything about you, because this is what we are here for. We are here to get guests on the show and get them talking about their career and where they want to go. So I'm going to kick us off straight away, thinking back to the early days. And how did you first really sort of get into wrestling?
I mean, I have said this before and I'll say it again. I didn't really know what wrestling was as a kid. So I don't have that awesome story of like, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. I actually discovered wrestling through none other than Total Divas. I had a friend over who was watching the show. I legit made fun of her for watching it. I was like, why are you watching this garbage? And then she left and I watched all of it. I binged it. That's how I was like, okay, you know, I was first kind of introduced to the Bella Twins, obviously through that and Natty. And it was like, well, what is this that they're doing? Cause they would show some snippets during the show. Not a lot, but some. So I was like, okay, I've heard of WWE, you know, I've heard of them. I've heard of Hulk Hogan, like the basics, right? I mean, I won't lie. The Rock really was the Scorpion King to me, cause I was always a Mummy fanatic, but like, it's still, I kind of had heard some stuff. So I started watching SmackDown and started watching Raw. And I fell in love with Becky. And I just was like, this is everything I've wanted to do in my life. It's got the performance aspect. It's got the athleticism. It's got these amazing costumes. It's got this incredible on-camera work. It's all these women are badasses is what I kept saying to myself. I was like, they're legit superheroes. And this is what I want to be. It's what I've always wanted to be since I was a kid, you know, like, yeah, and I just didn't know what it was. Right. So that's kind of how I got into wrestling. I didn't start watching it until December of 2018.
Well, that's interesting actually, because the next thing I wanted to sort of ask you was how you started training for this. Now, lots of people, you know, like myself, I watch wrestling and I think it's wicked. I think, wow, what an amazing job that would potentially be. But then that's where it sort of ends for me. Whereas you took it a step further, didn't you?
I did. I was like, look, I've always had, I don't want to say I've always had. So I went to college for video game art and design, and I worked behind a desk doing 3D like digital game art, right, for environments and some prop work and some weapon work. And like, I really liked it, but I hated sitting behind a desk. Like, I was like, I'm not meant to, even though I was making art, I'm like, I can't, I'm not meant to be sitting down behind a desk all day. It literally drives me crazy. I've got ADHD, so I'm like all over the place. Like, I can't focus on stuff.
Gotta keep moving.
Yeah. And so I had discovered cosplay, and I had really enjoyed building, right? Like creating things and then wearing them and going to conventions. And even though I'm an introvert, like I did enjoy the going out to cons and meeting people and, you know, having those experiences. And so when I had seen wrestling, I had always been athletic growing up, and it was like, man, like if I could just have this as my career, where not only are you up and traveling and doing all these incredible things and entertaining people, which I've always loved doing, I've always been a performer my whole life. But on top of that, like, I've always been a huge advocate for, how do I put this? Like, showing you can be or do anything you want to be, right? Especially for little girls and for women. And that was one thing in the cosplay scene. Like, I'll never forget, I was dressed as Wonder Woman. I had this little girl come up to me and she legit thought I was Wonder Woman. And her and I had this whole conversation where she thought I was Wonder Woman. And it was just this amazing experience where, like, I hope that I gave that little girl some hope in what she can do and what she wants to do with her life. And And then I want that for others, you know, like I always want to show people that you can do it, whatever it is you want to do. And I'm obviously starting into the wrestling game a little late here, but I'm just like, screw it. Like, this is what I really want in life. Like, this is what I really want to do. And I want to show other people that they can do it. You know, it's kind of, yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling at this point.
No, I completely understand that. And I think that's a message for anybody. If there's something that you really, really want to do, just go out there and get it. Now, yeah. I've been reading that a bit of a legend has been helping you, training you, and Jazz. I mean, that is, Jazz helped you out a little bit, did she, in some sort
she
of training?
She did help me a little bit. Yeah. So after I started actually at AAPW, America's Academy of Pro Wrestling in Austin, Texas. And there I was trained by Ray Campos, who's the owner of the school, as well as Prince Adam. He is still one of my trainers. But after I graduated, I had the opportunity to go train with Jazz, and I trained with her for about 3 to 4 months, her and her husband, Rodney Mack. And it was honestly an amazing, incredible experience. Like, it was great. It was awesome. I learned a lot.
Mm. And how difficult is training? I mean, you come in, said you came into it quite late, off a fresh base. I mean, how tough is it to get from, you know, almost sort of a complete beginner level to, you know, the level you are at now, and then, you know, potentially further as well?
Wrestling is hard. Like, and I say that it's not just physically hard though. It's mentally hard, it's emotionally hard, it's spiritually hard. Like, it hurts your soul, but it's also great for your soul. It's weird. Wrestlers are a special breed of people. I've realized that in the best way. And when I first started training, I was in pain all the time. Like, I was like, is this pain going to ever go away? Because when you first learn to bump, and when you first, like, you're doing things your body's not used to doing, like, your body's like, I shouldn't be falling backwards. I shouldn't be doing these rolls. Like, you're literally reconditioning your body, and it's painful. And I would be covered in bruises. I remember, like, getting out of bed and being like, oh man, is this going to be what it's like for the rest of my life? Like, I can't move, you know? And it was really hard. And there was a lot of moments mentally where, like, because I'm normally a very fast learner, and I normally pick mm-hmm. things up really quickly. And even though I have an athletic background, for some reason, wrestling has been a lot harder for me. It's been, and I think it's been really, really difficult for me to learn. And it's been really difficult for me there's something about, like, the connection between the way the mind and the body works, and the way that you have to work with another person, and the way the body moves, and things that you have to think about that I'm not used to thinking about, you know, like watching how people are moving and you interacting in that movement. And it's just very different from what I've ever done or I've ever been used to. So there was a lot of moments where I was like, I don't know if I can do this, you know, like, I think that, you know, there was those moments of, I keep failing. I can't do this. I keep failing. I don't know if I can do this. I'm just disappointing people. I'm just disappointing myself. And that was its own mental and emotional mountain that I had to climb, because the physical is one thing. Like, you can break through physical, right? If you're mentally strong enough, you can break through physical. But the mental for me, I think, has been the hardest, because wrestling has put new challenges mentally and emotionally in front of me that I thought that I would never deal with. And that I thought that, like, I was stronger. And then when they're faced, you know, when you're face to face with this thing, it's like a big roaring lion, and it's like, I don't know if I can do this, you know?
But no, I mean, you can, and look at where you are now, and you're going to go further. I am 100% sure of that.
Thank you. I hope so.
moving forward, got to talk about your debut. You said, you know, you started relatively late, September 2019, I believe you debuted. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, you know, you've been working up to this moment. You've been told, you know, you've got your match. What are the feelings like stepping out for the first time?
It's incredible. It's absolutely, there's nothing like it. Like, and I know that sounds cliche to say, but even in front of, like, a smaller crowd, just to, like, come out of that curtain and have your music play and feel the energy of the crowd, it's really amazing. It's really incredible. And then when you're having your first match, like for me personally, once again, it's one of those mental blocks, right? Like I was, my head was so in the match, I didn't hear the crowd. Like when I was in there, I didn't hear the crowd. I didn't, I could barely, like, I couldn't really hear anything. I was just so encapsulated in what I was doing. Yeah. And nowadays it's a much different experience. Like it's still every time before a match, I'm always nervous. Every time I get that, this is going to sound weird, but I get nervous pee before I have to pee. I get so nervous. And then it's that nervousness in the pit of your stomach, but it's that excitement too, right? It's not like, it's that like, oh man, here we go. You know, I always get that. And then you go out and you're just like, oh, this is, they're all here for me. I'm a badass. This is what I'm meant to do, blah, blah, blah. And then I get in there and now I can hear the crowd, you know, now I can hear the boos and the cheers and the silence, you know, mm-hmm. and so it's so much of a different experience now than it was the first time, but it is just as incredible and sometimes more incredible every time I go out there, no matter how big or small the crowd is or no crowd, right? With the pandemic, like when I did like one or two tapings, I did a couple during the pandemic where we'd all been tested and everything, and we had gone and just us workers were there, and so we would just work each other, and it was very much a different experience not having a crowd, you know. Yeah, like,
no, of course.
Really appreciated a crowd, even if it was five people after that.
No, I completely understand. I was actually going to come on to that later, but as you've mentioned it, I did want to talk about how has wrestling been for you during the pandemic, because working the independent scene, it crushed most independent scenes, indies just couldn't keep going. And how was that for you? I mean, you know, you started relatively late in 2019, the pandemic came through sort of around about 2020. So you didn't really have that long before everything was kind of shut down. I mean, how did you cope and how did you sort of keep on moving, really?
Well, so ironically, when the pandemic hit, it was a very difficult experience, right? Because everything got shut down. And the gym was like my, aside from wrestling, the gym was my like escape for like, to help emotionally and mentally. And I have depression, so that was a very fun experience. But we finally, I think it was like maybe like a month in when we realized this isn't going anywhere. This is the new life right now. We finally ended up going to the park. And me and Adam and a couple of our friends would go down to the park and we would do sprints and we would do burpees and we would like get out there and get some sun and like,
yeah.
And we would just do like calisthenics and sprints and all that kind of stuff to try to keep at least, you know, some kind of in shape going. Yeah. I was very fortunate that, here in Texas, things like didn't completely shut down. Once again, being tested and being safe, I was able to go back and train a little bit. And then, I was lucky again, being tested and being safe. I did have some shows that were being filmed without audiences. So I was very lucky that I got to work some of those. Later in the pandemic, in December is when I got my AEW opportunity. And so I've just been very, very fortunate and grateful that I have had safe opportunities to still be able to do some work even during these crazy times.
Well, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, us in the UK, we literally only came out of lockdown last week. So things have literally just started to open. So I can completely understand, you know, kind of what you went through there. You mentioned AEW Dark, and we will come to that. But before we do, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about Mission Pro Wrestling. Now, I saw you've had a few matches there. I watched a match the other day of you versus Lacey Ryan, who's now Zoe Stark on NXT, which was pretty cool. And it's Thunder Rosa is obviously up and around there. So how did that really come about for you?
So I had worked with like Ladies Night Out and stuff and done a couple, SWE, I worked with Thunder Rosa there, and she was very grateful, or she was grateful. I'm grateful. She was, very nice enough to offer me, to do some custom stuff with Mission Pro. I had worked for Mission Pro like way before the pandemic, when they had their very first show. I was in a triple threat. It was one of my first matches. Like, don't recommend watching. So I'd already worked with them then, and then she had offered to do, you know, I wanted to do some customs. And so I decided I was going to do a little bit of customs. Realize it's not for me, but, you know, I tried. And then from there, it was just, you know, I was very lucky that they just kept bringing me back. And yeah, I'm very grateful for those opportunities. And hopefully again in the future, I'll be able to work for them again.
Well, exactly that. And I saw, I will get you to promote them later towards the end of the podcast, but I've also seen you've got a few independents coming up. I think there's one in the next week or so. So I'll get you to touch on them just before we finish off. But the big one really that I wanted to talk to you about, we'll come to it now, is AEW Dark. Now, I'm just very, very keen. I've spoken to, on this podcast, Maddie Renkowski. We've had Casey Lennox on as well, both talking about how they got into Dark, but everyone's story is kind of different. So I wanted to ask you really how that originally came about.
Well, Maddie and I have the same story because we went at the same time. it was Maddie and Jasmine and I that all had the opportunity to go at the same time. And we were very grateful. Thunder and her husband opened that door for us. And so we were able to get in there and go. And we luckily, when we first went, we were able to actually do a little bit of training and stuff with Dustin and the other girls. I don't know what's going on there now, but I know the last time I was there, that wasn't happening anymore. But it was very cool. We were able to do that and train. I'm just so grateful that they liked me enough that they brought me back and they kept bringing me back and they kept bringing me back. And it's like, you know, it's great. I'm very grateful for the door being open, but I also worked my ass off while I was there so that I could hopefully be brought back and hopefully be brought back again in the future. It's just,
Yeah, exactly that. Who do you kind of speak to when you get there? Who do you kind of talk to and sort of run through what's going to be happening on the night and things like that?
I mean, everyone and everything, every match has an agent, right? And that just depends on the night and the match. But I really try to talk to as many people as I can. I also get, I'm really shy. Like, I'm a very introverted person. So I get shy. And so I just try to at least say hi to people and I try to have conversations with people. But a lot of times I find that I say hi and then I'll kind of sit to myself and just kind of absorb and watch what's going on. But yeah, every match has an agent, and that agent is the one that you really go through and talk to, as well as your opponent, obviously. But yeah, I don't know how much I can say about that stuff, but
that's fine. I'll stop prying there.
You're good.
That's no problem there. And also I've seen you in the crowd as well on AEW Dynamite. Is that just sort of a part of being Dark and then kind of going into Dynamite as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's right now with the pandemic, right? Like the crowd is important to have there. So we're very lucky that when we get to go, we also get to be a part of the crowd and watch live amazing wrestling right here. Like I've never, for somebody who never grew up watching wrestling, and I like really only saw independents, right? Like I'd see stuff on TV, but I never went to a WWE show. Like I never went to a big show. So it's like, I'm kind of like living my childhood. Like I'm like, I get to see Chris Jericho from this far away. You know, like it's awesome. It's really cool. Cause it's, you know, getting to watch these wrestlers, like I was very fortunate to be in the crowd for Christian. And I was like, holy crap, it's Christian, you know, it's like being a kid. And I'm so grateful to have that experience. It's freaking amazing.
I can imagine. I've seen you bobbing your head to Judas a good few times.
Oh, yeah. Rock out.
No Jericho shame. in the inner circle appear. Just sort of one more question on AEW before we sort of move on. Do you tend to get like feedback on your matches? So when you sort of finished as someone, because obviously I know you're probably, you know, most of them say that they're their biggest critic, and I completely get that. And you probably know in yourself what you did well and what you think you can do better. But does someone sort of come up to you and sort of talk you through your match?
Yeah. So, the same agent, it tends to be the same agent who helped in the beginning, is the same person to give you that advice. And honestly, It's getting advice from people that I never thought that I would ever talk to. It's like, I'm like, oh crap, you're Dustin Rhodes, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
it's a very cool, unreal experience. And it's one of those things where, like, while you're there, everybody's your coworker, you know, and it's, you're working. And then I go home and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, like, let me process what just happened here. So it's but yes, we do get feedback.
Yeah, a very surreal experience, I can imagine.
Yes, extremely surreal.
One thing I will ask you, out of if I was to put you on the spot now, out of the matches that you've had so far, what match kind of stands out for you as kind of your favorite match, in inverted commas, if you know what I mean?
I mean, I have a couple. There's a match that'll be airing on the 25th with Roxy that I cannot wait for everyone to see. The one that you watched actually with Lacey is one of my favorites because I felt that match felt so different to me in a good way. Like, I felt like I was in a fight, you know, and it was great. Like, I, in the future, I don't know if it'll ever happen down the road since she's with WWE now, but I would love to work her again because there's just a different energy. Like, it was amazing. And then finally, Adam, he and I had a match together and it was one of my first matches like forever ago, but I love him, but he and I beat the crap out of each other in the best way, you know? And it's a different kind of experience to be in a match with your significant other, you know what I mean? And not like be working together, but be working against each other.
Yeah.
And it was, his knowledge, like, he's been doing this for, I think, about 4 years now, but his knowledge is like way beyond his wrestling years because he is just a wrestling sponge and super talented and amazing. Mm. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. it was a nerve-wracking and exciting experience. So that was more than one, obviously, but
it's fun.
And that obviously doesn't count my AEW Dark experiences because those are all unique and incredible and amazing in their own way. So it's just, those are just my indie experiences.
No, of course. And long may they continue. If, again, to put you on a spot, another question, if I said to you, you know, you can have a dream match, anyone, you know, they could be, they could make, you know, they could have passed by now. It can be anybody. Who would you say?
That's,
and again,
so
it could be one or two. It doesn't so have to
hard.
Be down to just one.
There's like such a list. Like, it's like, okay.
You can roll a couple of names off.
I know. That's why I'm like, I'm thinking like it doesn't. Oh, okay. If it didn't matter. Oh God, this is really random and kind of weird, but Minoru Suzuki would be on that list. Because he's just a complete and utter badass. And it's like one of those things of like, could I survive that? You know, yeah. Like, would I make
could
it
be
through
pushed
that,
all that way?
Would I, yeah. Asuka, because she is the GOAT. Like, she's one of the people I constantly go back and study tape to because she's so amazing and like everything she does and the way she moves, her explosion, her energy and charisma, her attitude, like and she's a wealth of knowledge, you know, like I feel like even just like getting in the ring and touching her, I'd absorb something. And then finally, oh God, no, Tessa Blanchard's on that list because she was one of the first ones that I had really started watching. Becky Lynch is on that list because I really attribute
badass.
Me wanting to be a wrestler to her. And then finally Medusa because of just God, the history, you know,
she's
been to Japan and she's obviously had, she's one of the forefront in the women's wrestling revolution that started forever ago in my mind. And so I would love to get in the ring with her. That was way more than one. And there's by the way. So
listen, it doesn't need, it's not, you know, it's not restricted to one. We're not like that. It can be, you know, whoever or however many people, it really, really doesn't matter. But no, there's some badass names on that. So
many.
100%. All right. Sort of come to final sort of questions on wrestling. Obviously, listen, things are opening back up again. Independent shows are cracking on. Hopefully, we're going to get more of a crowd. Obviously, we started getting a crowd at on Dynamite and things like that. What's the plans for Vert Vixen for the rest of 2021? What are you sort of not aiming towards, but what sort of direction are you going in this year?
Man, my direction is to work everywhere and anywhere and everyone of all experience levels if possible, because I just want to work and I want to get better. I am doing a lot of training right now, like outside, like wrestling and outside of wrestling, because I'm trying to just make myself as well-rounded as I can. I have sent my stuff out to a lot of larger name indies. I'm hoping that maybe I'll be able to get on those this year. I'm sending my stuff out and I sent it to WWE. I'm sending it to Impact and ROH. Japan, I heard, is not really accepting people at this time because of the pandemic, but I'm working on that too. Like, I just want to go, and then hopefully AEW more. Like, I'm really just trying to work everywhere and really just work at everyone, because I feel like that's the only way I'm going to keep growing and progressing aside from training is working and getting that experience with different people, because it's so different to work with different people. Like, you learn something new from every match. So
working exactly. And I'm the same 100%, just keep working. While we're there, I'd like you to tell our listeners sort of, you know, where are you going to be appearing, where are you going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks?
On Saturday, I need to look at my calendar. On Saturday I will be at New Texas Pro, and I believe that will be, I think that'll be, it'll definitely be online eventually. It might be live stream through Title Match. I'm not sure. I think it is. So New Texas will be Saturday. And then I felt like I had something on May 1st, but nothing is coming up on my thing. I have a smaller show, a bar show on the 15th in Dallas. We'll probably be posting flyers for that soon. I have the Rise of the Vixens show with RWR, and that's going to be on May 22nd. Yeah, that's going to be a great one. There's a lot of incredible, I mean, not that the other ones aren't going to be great, but there's a lot of really talented, incredible women on that card. I believe there was another one. Oh, June 12th is Sabotage. I think it's 12th or the 13th. It's one of those. So I will also be at Sabotage Wrestling on either the 12th or the 13th. And I'm so bad because I don't know the date off the top of my head.
Keeping busy though. Keeping busy.
Trying to work everywhere, like I said, and everyone. Yes, all the things.
Exactly. Just one more quickly. I noticed that you've got a Twitch channel going as well. And you're also doing a little bit of vlogging. Is that sort of alongside your sort of wrestling? What does that sort of entail?
Yeah, so I was a Twitch streamer before I started wrestling. Like, that was like, I cosplayed and did Twitch, and that was like my job. The Twitch streaming has taken a little bit of a backseat because I'm still trying to find my new schedule and everything with work and with training and with wrestling, you know. But the vlogs, so the Twitch streaming, you should still follow me. It's twitch.tv/vertvixen, because I promise I will stream again. It's just a matter of me figuring out when, even if it's once a week, I'm going to do it.
It will happen.
It'll happen. It will. And then the vlogs, I've always loved making videos and I've always wanted to release weekly videos. And a lot of people have been like, what's it like? Like, what do you do in a day-to-day life? Like, what's your life like? Blah, blah. So I'm like, screw it. I hate writing, so I'm going to make a vlog. And so every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, I will be releasing a video on my YouTube channel, which is Vert Vixen Studios. Callback to my cosplay, and I can't change it yet, so that's what it's saying. But if you look at Vert Vixen, it comes up. So I will be releasing one video every week on Thursday, if it's a vlog video or if it's something else. But my goal is to at least release that content once a week, because people like consistency and I'm really bad about being consistent. Forcing myself to be consistent.
Of course. Will we get to see the dogs on the vlog?
Oh, I think that's what, yeah. Yeah.
What I'm looking for. Definitely need to see the dogs on there.
All the dogs. I'll make sure to put more dogs in this next one. I had some in my first one and people were like, Thor didn't get enough screen time. And I'm like, okay, I'll make sure to get Thor more screen time.
They're stealing the show.
That's dogs equal views.
It certainly does. Listen, Vert, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Just before we sort of finish off, can you tell our listeners, please, where's best to follow you? Do you have Twitter, Instagram? What's the handles?
Yeah. So first of all, I do have to say that I messed up on my show dates. On April 25th, Reality of Wrestling is debuting a charity event on YouTube. So make sure to check it out. I'm on that as well. But anyways, you can find me on Instagram is @VertVixen, Twitter is @VertVixen, Facebook is facebook.com/AliciaCosplay, because somebody took Vert Vixen, and twitch.tv/VertVixen, and then I also have my YouTube channel, which is Vert Vixen Studios, and if you want to buy merch, it's a Big Cartel, and that's Vert Vixen on Big Cartel, and I have a link tree that I will be putting on my Instagram and Twitter, so you can just find all those links.
Perfect. So we can find that all there.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really, really, really enjoyed talking to you. And I appreciate for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you and your time.
No problem at all. And that's that from me. This week, I believe Andy and Rob will be joining us for another podcast. I might be missing it because I'm at work, but ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Please do follow us on Twitter @MondayNightGore, and also do follow us on Instagram as well @MondayNightGore. We're beginning to grow that. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and Andy and Rob, we'll see you next time.